accession number 18439, reel 4.
Yes, everybody were on parade that day, and all the men were brought to attention, and the company commander said that that morning at 10:30 at Pam and John, a peace agreement had been signed between Nam Hill and Major Field Marshal Mark Clark. And we were told, that's it, the war is over. What a wonderful experience. We were a fortnight, maybe 3 weeks, before we started to move on our way home. We were visited in that meantime by men from the Red Cross who came to look at the conditions we were living in. But we were not allowed contact with these observers. And then, about 3 weeks, they put us onto wagons and took us north to a city called Manpo. We travelled all night to this city of Manpo. Manpo is a city on the Yellow River, which has the distinction of being divided totally by the Yellow River. On the north side, on the Chinese side, the city was completely intact, and on the south side, on the Korean side, the city was completely flattened. Every time we, in those wagons, travelling day and night, went through places where people lived, there was not a house standing or anything at all. The only thing what was operational was the railway lines. At Manpo, we were given some food, some rice, and we were put onto a railway wagon, and we were taken down to Pam and John. We travelled through the night. We were taken off in Pyongyang and put to wash in a river, which we did. Then got back onto the train, and the train took us right down to Panmunjom. Yet not one city that we went through, not one town, had one brick above the other. And yet the railway line was intact from the Yellow River to the front line. We were offloading in Panmunjom, and every night in Panmunjom, the exchange sequence was such that the Americans had in their possession something like 500,000 Chinese prisoners and Korean prisoners. Maybe those numbers were just a little bit less or more, I don't know exactly, but those were the figures like which were in exchange. So the Americans had 8,000 troops which had survived being POWs, although 12,000 were captured. The British number was about 800, I would say, and the Filipinos, the Turks and the likes of. All the lot had to be sequenced in as much that 500, maybe 150 Koreans one day and next day, and so that on the last day, when the last British troops went across, their last Chinese troops were exchanged. So not one side were left with one on that side. For instance, there were only 24 British prisoners of war each day, was the number of days, and 75 or 150 Yanks, and two Turks and the likes of. And so it was sequenced. So on the last day, when they did the final change, not one man was on this side, what should have been on that side. We were told we were going to, they read out the names, I was going across tomorrow, and they put us in the back of a Chinese truck, and it drove us to the 5 mile to Pyongyang, to Panmunjom. When we got into Panmunjom, these big American lads walked up to the back of the wagon. They looked 6'3" and 6'4", and the big sergeant, top sergeant, said, "Now take it steady, lads, you're free now. When I call your name out, walk over to me." And each man, as he walked to the tailgate of the wagon, these big, powerful Yanks lifted you down like a baby. And we were handed through the building where they had signed, and we were welcomed back by General West, because there were not individual brigades then. There was the British Commonwealth Brigade, which were an amalgamation of Australian, Canadians and British. General West welcomed us back, and he said, "Welcome back, soldier." And he gave it into my hand 10 Players cigarettes in a cellophane packet. He said, "What battalion were you with?" I said, "I was with the Royal Ulster Rifles, sir." "Well done." And he pulled me rather abruptly inside to the cabin. The next man through was Albert Fulgoni. He was in my squad, and Albert Fulgoni were a Gloucester. And he said, "What battalion were you with, young man?" He said, "Gloucester." And he embraced him. "Marvellous, what a wonderful show you put up. What a battle." And I thought, how disgusting. Everybody had fought the same on that battle, and the same 3 days of a horrendous amount of men. And yet this admiration for one battalion against other were quite nauseating. And so it was to be all the way through. So it was to be. We were welcomed back, and there was a detail of Duke of Wellington officers. We were welcomed back. The Americans, rather, took us the first. They deloused us, gave us new new clothes, and "Do you want any ice cream? Would you like cigarettes? Would you like chocolate or whatever? Anything you could have within reason, but not drink." And then they each put us two men to a luxury ambulance, and we were taken down to Freedom Village, and then we were handed over to the British troops.
Did you have any long lasting effects as a POW?
Yes, I've always been short of breath. I have a pension which is attributed to my service there with the extreme cold.
And did your POW experience change your attitude towards the Chinese or to communism?
No, none whatsoever. It made no impression on me. It was just having a question of having something to study to pass on the time. The boredom was a great killer. Boredom was a great killer.
How do you feel now about having taken part in the Korean War?
Well, it was an experience. An experience of nothing to be... I don't carry any grudges. It was an experience I wouldn't have. It was sad for the young men what we left out there. But that's life.
Do you feel it was a war that should have been fought?
Well, I don't think at the end of the day there was anything achieved by it. Because all it did achieve, though, was to drag the Korean nation into the 21st century. Because we must remember that when we went there, that country had been untouched since Marco Polo went in 1300. But now when you go back to see it, it's so modern, so technology of the highest standard. It's unbelievable what they have achieved in 45 years, to consider it's taken us 2,000 years to achieve. It's just unbelievable. Quite horrendous.